somewhat a sad story, considering he really rebuilt that program. And when basketball came around, you could always look toward him, and he'd have he'd always be very energetic. And it was a great time to watch Georgia Tech basketball. Unfortunately, they've fallen off, and you can bet for sure that he's going to be somewhere next year coaching, and hopefully he'll be able to turn another program around. John Calipari, going to Memphis.
Bobby Kremis, that's the guy that looks like Steve Martin, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And that'll about do it for Tuesday Night Sports Line. Join us next week, and that's Tuesday at 10 p.m., for some great action.
Brad's mom.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. That was Sportsline. Coming up next, Sex Talk.
Welcome to Sex Talk. This is DJ Trim. Tonight, Lance and I are going to be keeping it real for you all night long.
Word? Trim?
Trim and Lance? Trim Lance?
Like, don't harsh my buzz here. I'm setting a mood.
Okay. I think it's that ribbed tea.
So do I look ripped? Do I look ripped in this shirt?
You do actually. I was noticing that when you walked in.
Somebody else said that. Even though I'm like fat and like ugly underneath, like this shirt seems to make me look sort of muscular, which is kind of weird.
I don't know if you look ripped, but you certainly look ribbed for my pleasure.
For everyone's really. Sex talk listening audience.
For those of you who can't actually see DJ Trim, he's wearing a stylish ensemble of kids' running shoes, blue jeans, and I must admit a powerfully arousing, tight-ish ribbed black t-shirt.
Is that structure?
I think I got this at Lazarus, actually. Mm. Or maybe no, Kaufman's.
A close second.
I went to Structure. I actually went to Structure first when I was at the Monroeville Mall shopping, and like, it was horrible. It was a horrible nightmare. It's like gang. Everything there is like gang wear now. I mean, it just doesn't work for my generation.
You have to go to the back section. The back section where they sell the underwear. Then you get your gang undergarments. Anyway.
Tonight, we have a very special show for you. Longtime and frequent visitors, Chris and Jeff, are here to talk about the relationship, the multi-dimensional
nature of man as a sexual and spiritual being.
Yes. Thank you. And the homosexual experience from multiple levels.
Yes. However, we don't want to turn everybody off who's not gay out there suddenly saying, it's another gay show.
It's too late.
No.
Can we go back to this multiple level thing? Are we talking more than just top and bottom?
No, we're talking about the split sexuality of all men, gay and straight. You know,
so
how you've got
it applies to you.
See, I mean, I used to, back in the 60s, I used to kind of hang and travel with Carlos Castaneda. And I learned a lot.
Name dropper.
we were in the southwestern United States. We're in Mexico, and while there was a sexual component to my relationship with Carlos, I also learned a lot from him spiritually, and I still carry those messages with me to this day. And it's hard to, if you're not actually chewing peyote, it's hard to actually express those. Did I say that right? Peyote.
Peyote. not that we'd know for any specific reason.
It's hard to actually put those experiences into words, but I was profoundly affected by those experiences on multiple levels.
Can you bring back some of the insight that you risked your soul by going to the shaman of the world to bring back to us?
I don't understand the question. What are you eating?
Peyote. I'm eating a cookie of love brought to us by
a woman.
Our lovely talented producer Kate, who brought us all cookies of love, but I seem to be the only one willing to accept that love.
I rejected that love. I think
it's interesting that the straight guy is eating Kate's cookies of love, and the rest of us are just not quite sure whether.
Can you just keep up appearance? You know, can't you just keep up appearances and have a cookie?
I'm thinking about it, but I've had those cookies before, and I don't know if I want to go there again.
Yes, we've talked about that on the show.
I'm afraid it will turn me into one of you guys.
Breeder.
So I had this experience, and I want to ask you guys, since we have really a broad cross-section of the male experience here in the studio, I wanted to ask you all a question. I had an experience just tonight. I was on Smallman Street in the Strip District, having just left Rosebud. I got a haircut at Rosebud. Can you tell?
Was it girl night there? Planet Girl that they do.
Mama.
Yes, friend of our show.
Friend
Mama.
Of Sex Talk. Mama Spell.
Mama Spell.
Who's that? What's her website? Mama
something,
Rama.
Probably www.mamarama.
Dot something.
Yeah, that's all A's, no hidden, no silent Q's or H's or anything.
Was there doing her show, and then there was some kind of band there. I forget the name. Were you there?
I was not there.
You said you were going to be there.
I know my plans changed. I apologize.
They were getting my haircut, waiting for you guys to show up, feeling like a dork. Here I am, everyone else is watching the show, and I'm here getting my haircut. Actually, it was really cool because you could kind of get your haircut and watch the.
And drink, probably.
And drink, indeed. And so I was walking back, and there were like these two skateboarders following me, and it was really weird because they weren't. Like, you know, you walk for a really long time, and yet there's the sound of skateboarding behind you, like 20 paces behind, and you're kind of freaked out. You're like, okay, just like hit me over the head with the bat so I can just like move past this experience. Mm-hmm. So this guy finally skates up to me, and he's like, hey, which way is north? And it was really confusing for me because I couldn't tell, like, was this like a test? like,
or was it a come on?
A Kenneth, what is the frequency kind of moment? Or was it a come on? Or did he really want to know which one? So I actually, since I was, it was one of the few places in Pittsburgh where I actually could guess which way north was, sort of north, pointing at the river from Rosebud. And he's like, thanks. And he skated away.
Did he go north?
Actually, he and his friend skated the south at that point.
Huh.
Chillingly. So if you're out there, little skate boy.
Did he look like Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
He was actually pretty attractive. He was actually pretty attractive. It's not one of these kind of skanky skater boys. He actually was nicely dressed.
Sounds like he was pulling your wire.
Maybe he's expecting you to whip out your penis and point north with that. But
so if you're out there, skater boy, please call the station. The numbers are 621-9728 and 268-9728. You're looking at me.
You're the star, baby.
You're rib. How can we not look?
And this is a good show for women to listen to and call in and ask questions, I would think.
Definitely.
Because I think we're going to give them an insight into male psychology, right? Unfettered by our concerns of giving away our secrets to the opposite gender, because the opposite gender isn't concerned.
This should come off as kind of a helpless flailing, I think, of men in a quandary. And in fact, it would be great if women could call and tell us what to do.
Is one of you indeed facing a deep spiritual quandary right now?
I would argue that we all are.
I mean,
well, but you know, some quandaries are more equal than others,
I suppose.
Well, the issue as we framed it is, you know, how do you reconcile this genuine need for spiritual love that men have, and I think all human beings have, with this horny little monkey inside who wants to, you know, just drill every good looking sex object of your affectional preference. What does that mean in relationships? I mean Chris and I are kind of old-fashioned fogies that way,
that we're not still drilling
anyone but each other,
right?
So you two are just to be clear about the foundations, you two are involved in some kind of relationship, is that right?
Some kind of, yes. I would say it is a relationship.
But the fidelity issues are generic.
Right. Yeah. Because both of us have been in situations before where the relationship has been open.
Which is pretty useless.
Well, in our cases and for us, it has proven to be not conducive to the strength of the relationship at hand, and has challenged that spiritual need, the security, the male ego, all of these things that are threatened when your partner is bedding down or drilling others.
Well, it worked for Sartre.
Yes, and there's a unique one.
Perhaps.
Tell me about Sartre. Does his wife sleep in around?
Well, no, he and his wife had a very open relationship lasting 20, 30 years, right?
And it has been proven to work for some couples, however.
So then what's your defense against the inner horny monkey? Like, how do you deal with the inner horny monkey when it just grabs you by the grandmaster muscle and yanks? Mm.
You need to give it a good petting.
heavy petting.
So this is the porn/masturbation option I'm hearing, right?
Well, I just couldn't resist that opportunity. Now, you have to recognize that it's there and to sort of give it its due, you know. Like,
what does that mean?
Well, I think what Jeff is trying to say is that you shouldn't apologize for it. And I think I don't want to steal Jeff's tirade, because I know he talked about this earlier tonight. But we really want to do a big bashing of our puritanical society, in that we're constantly faced with these images and these teachings that, A, sex is bad, or sex should be avoided, or especially casual sex. And also masturbation, certainly, we can't talk about it, just keep hush-hush. And I think, you know, that is very damaging, especially when trying to deal with the fact that men have a biological need to get it out.
I agree. The point is that by acknowledging that you have these urges, you know, and Chris and I have license to look at others and to be attracted to mm-hmm. other people. And because we're gay, we have the advantage that we can talk about it. But I mean, that's really a minor issue. We've decided that it's okay to flirt with others, but not to have any kind of sex, you know, not phone sex, not, you know, beating off and looking at someone else's sex, nothing.
So wait, is there a name? Like, I'm curious, is there a name for that kind of sex, the beating off while looking at someone else?
I don't. Some people would call that mutual masturbation. I don't know.
Even if they're on TV.
That's a little different. Yeah. I think there's a question from producer Kate.
I have a question, actually. Why do you think that you can talk about it because you're gay?
Oh, that has nothing to. Oh, I'm sorry. All it means is that we can both agree that some guy is hot. You know, a man and a bisexual woman could do the same thing.
Actually, I don't know. I'm in a heterosexual relationship, and my boyfriend and I talk about same sex as being attractive all the time too. So I think that kind of transcends.
I think there's also a talking about the being attractive, and then there's also a talking about them like, damn, wouldn't I like to jump in bed with him?
Right.
And I think that's certainly. That is even a level that I think Jeff and I are comfortable with, because it's so obvious that it is fun and it is play, but it is still very sexual, you know, where we will be on the street and we will both turn heads, you know, or we will be turning our heads to look and check out the other prospects, you know, and even exchange glances and smiles and, you know, suggestive looks, but, you know, beyond that, you know, I mean, that's human and that's very male.
Right, but that's kind of a minor point. I mean, the real point is that we respect our animal horniness, you know, and that helps us not to like be so that way you're not blindsided by it, you know.
I think that's something that's important in all relationships, though, too.
Definitely,
I agree.
Which is why I think in the beginning of the show we would say this is very much about men and men's interactions with sex and sexual partners, certainly not limited to gay couples. However, it does present an interesting situation when you have a gay couple, because you have two men dealing with that rage. And it kind of compounds the issue where, you know, and again, it gets back to all the myths, you know, and every myth is somewhat... there's a little bit of truth buried in it, you know, that gay men are more promiscuous and yada, yada, yada. We kind of go through the same spiel every time, but I think there is a level of serious risk for gay couples, certainly, that, you know, both are dealing with the fact that, you know, they have this very strong urge to, what was the word, drill?
You know, DJ Trim, you've been awfully quiet.
I think he's taking it all in.
Well, I actually have a number of questions. I mean, the reason I was quiet was I was kind of reliving the experience on Smolensk Street with my little skater friend, wondering what I should have done differently to drill that experience home. But on this particular topic, I'm curious. I can't decide whether you two have developed some kind of calculus of sexual morality, where you actually believe that it's you know, a superior or more appropriate lifestyle to be monogamous, or whether you're just saying that this kind of thing resonates with the way you like to have a relationship.
It's the second. There's absolutely nothing morally wrong with an open relationship. I have no problem with that. It's just practically doesn't work for me. That's all.
And ditto.
And so since you've both been in, and actually I know DJ Chris, you've been in relationships and I think possibly open relationships with all kinds of genders.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us an idea, especially with kind of heart-tugging, tragic little examples of how these relationships have gone wrong, whether it be sort of because of emotional pain or because of misunderstandings or, you know, whatever. I can infer all kinds of things, but...
Well, one of the most important things to me in an open, when I was in open relationships, was making sure that whoever the deal was you can sleep with and have sex with, full penetrative... you know, all night long, scream out the other person's name, sex, or even scream out my name, I don't care. But I want intricate, you know, blow by blow detail of what happened, how you were safe, how you were protected.
Wait, do you want a detail of the sexual aspect of it, or just the protection aspect of it?
Everything. Like, and how did it make you feel emotionally? Did you, you know, was there something else there? I was like, you know, look.
I
was going to say, I'm the one living with you. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that you still call your primary boyfriend, you know, and these are all just, you know, oh, we were at a bar and one thing led to another and, you know, we were naked, we'd had sex and then, you know, but it, you know, it's more than, it needs to be more than, oh, it just meant nothing and we had a good time. It's like, no, I want to hear, you know, I want to hear that, you know, we started out in the kitchen and, you know, I want to hear it all because I want to hear you describe it. And from that, I can more accurately gauge exactly how well you're dealing with this and how well I can deal with it. So this actually worked out very well.
I hate to interrupt you, but what you just said, I can't tell if you are the person wanting the details or if you're the person giving the details.
I'm the one wanting the details from my partner.
Okay.
And who is very willing to oblige.
And why would you want these details?
I just wanted them because I just to quell my own insecurities. Mainly for the health aspects, because I didn't want to be, you know, I wanted to make sure this person was being healthy for themselves, but also I was still having sex with this person. I didn't want to be, you know, putting myself at risk. I did trust them to tell me the truth.
But clearly, if you trust them to tell you the truth about the sexual details, you should trust them to say, like, I took care of it, I was thorough.
Right.
Right. But so this goes way beyond that. This goes way beyond issues of safety.
Mm. And yeah. I basically when it started to get painful was when I realized every time that this person would come back and tell me these stories, oh my God, he went down the hood of the car. It was great. Oh my God.
That's the opposite of what other people would say. I was actually dating a Persian girl many years ago, quite traditional, of course. And, you know, so she wouldn't have any sex before marriage. And I said, well, okay, but if we're not having...
It's okay because you were gay.
Right, at the time. Exactly.
Excellent.
Exactly. Well, I was somewhat attracted to her. Mm. you know, this party you've been talking about.
Right,
have you told
exactly.
people the gender of this person yet?
It was a female.
Anyway, so I told her, you know, if you... we're not having sex, then I think I'm free to have sex with others. She said, okay, just don't tell me.
Hmm.
Which, I don't know. So you're asking for details, kind of a way of owning the process?
Like a penthouse letter there.
Actually, what was interesting was I realized soon after that this was, A, me being very controlling of that other person and you know, just added to the levels of things that were already wrong with the relationship. I mean, here's me, you know, asking almost like a parent asks their child, so what did you do at school today? You know, and it was ridiculous. It was so ridiculous. And it just got more and more painful for me to hear these stories about, oh, it was fantastic and it was fun, but you're still the one for me. You know, it's like,
yeah,
sure,
right.
But I, you know, I can't go all night long like this guy, or I can't do this like this guy, and this is why you're sleeping with these people. And they were repeat people, and then I kept running into these people. I still run into these people today.
Okay, so I'm having a problem with it. But you can go all night long, and you probably are superior to these other men in most. I mean,
no, see, I'm not.
Like a
I'm not.
14-inch penis. This is on record.
Yes, but this
show.
Is this. Okay, but this was with a woman, and my sexual interest, as I, of course, learned and accepted later on in the relationship, was limiting.
But
to
at
our
the time, it was baffling and insecurity.
Exactly.
Creating
exactly.
Her. That's perfectly.
And
normal.
That is probably why she went looking for sex in other places, because I couldn't always provide exactly what she wanted.
Mm-hmm. Okay, another question from the devil's advocate, and I am the devil's advocate.
you never graduated from law school. I don't know.
I've been a retainer since 1985.
Okay, that's true.
So,
oh, gross. Aren't your teeth straight yet?
Wait, that joke was completely lost on me.
That was so funny.
Retainer.
I almost forgot you're fat.
Okay. So, you know, that one I get.
That's a Will and Grace joke.
It is a Will and Grace joke. Thank you. I love that joke. Use that often. Anyway. Devil's advocate, shoot.
You may be many things, Jeff, but one thing you are, that didn't come out right. The point is, like, you are the world's most touchy-feely, like, nurturing granola person I know. I'm sorry, it's true. Aww. There's no way you're going to be going out with a woman and say, I'm sorry, I have to get sex somewhere else. That's not you.
What drugs were you on?
What the hell is going on here? Were you insane? Was that like your evil twin? I don't actually believe that story. I have to go on record and say,
well, that was,
something is wrong.
That was 15 years ago, you know.
Yes, in the middle of the 70s, extremely mellow period.
Mellow?
Actually, 15 years ago was 85.
80s? Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That should be.
Yeah, too much Billy Idol floating around for it to be a really mellow period.
I don't know. I did it.
I think Guns N' Roses released Appetite for Destruction that year.
No, that was 88, actually.
Oh, my God.
God.
I think we broke our host's brain, though, with that time-warping cognitive dissonance.
Jeff doesn't strike you as the kind of guy who could make male sexual demands like that and say, look, I need it.
I mean, like I said, I made the joke with the penis litter, but that's almost true. Like, that's almost a male fantasy to walk up to your girlfriend and say, look, you are not providing, so I am going to have to go look elsewhere.
Well, it wasn't that way. It was just I had sort of almost this moral idea that if you're not having sex with a person, then it's not a, well, I was kind of naive at the time, then it's not a closed relationship. You know, I mean, I couldn't conceive of dating someone, not having sex with them, and not having sex with anybody. That did not make sense to me at the time. And that's kind of a 60s, 70s value there.
Does it not make sense to you, DJ Ribbed?
It actually makes a lot of sense to me, and I can imagine a lot of people doing that. It's just not your particular genetic structure. It doesn't seem to permit that kind of behavior, in my estimation. I mean, can you imagine, like, let's say, for example, and God forbid that this should happen, but some, you know, whatever, a piano falls from the sky, chops off Chris's penis, renders him unable to have sex.
Well.
Unable to have certain kinds of sex.
Yes, exactly. Jeff's like, well, I still would find him very useful for my needs.
I see what you mean. If Chris suddenly...
My mouth somehow got sewn shut permanently.
No, if Chris suddenly became Martha Stewart and was no longer... Actually, she's probably a hellion in bed.
But a little bit more likely. Well, I don't know. Just without working out the details, just imagine somehow you still needed the emotional relationship with Chris, but sex somehow was impossible. Are you despite the irony of your 14-inch penis, are you at the bottom in this relationship?
Oh yeah.
There are certain mechanical reasons for that.
And I love it.
And I don't want to die.
Well, Jeff likes being able to walk.
As we discussed this, You just need to practice.
There's practice.
Yeah,
and
did you not indeed volunteer to be there?
Yes, if I can accommodate Chris's girth, I think anyone can.
Hence, we get back to the issue of closed relationship.
Well, in fact, here's another. Your refusal to have a slightly open relationship is preventing scientific progress.
So maybe we could actually twist this up and saying Jeff's refusal to. But it's actually not a refusal. I mean, maybe because I am not having penetrative anal sex with Jeff, then technically I should be allowed to look for it elsewhere.
Mm. Oh, I ain't buying that.
Yeah, so this is like the Persian story 15 years later. What's...
Well, I think this is different because then this gets into the whole definition of, okay, well, what is sex? And this...
Right.
This is, of course, a big mess for me, too, because I was a virgin until 22, despite the fact that I'd been with, like, 5 or 6 different women, had tried to have penetrative vaginal sex and just failed miserably because, you know, hearing this woman screaming, writhing in pain is just not a turn-on and caused immediate wilting. So, yet I would still, you know, my friends would be like, oh, did you have sex last night? I was like, yeah, well, you know, there was oral sex and there was mutual masturbation and I came and of course I had sex, but yet did I really have sex? So therefore, I would argue that Jeff and I have a ton of sex in a very amazing and creative way oftentimes.
You know, for those of our listeners who are having a ton of sex but would like to take a short break to call us and tell us about it, feel free to call us at 621.
Perhaps you don't even need to take a break and you could just call and...
Indeed. It's after 11. Don't take the break.
During.
Just call and put us on speakerphone.
I'm gonna
the number. Say the rest of the number.
621-9728 or 268-9728. Here on the CMU campus.
I think the reason people don't call us is because we don't enunciate. I've said this before.
No, it's because I don't enunciate.
That's 621. I'm speaking here. 621 WRCT. That's 621-9728. We also have a website if you've got a computer or, like, you know, one of those horrible, like,
web TV boxes.
Or those, like, free internet computer things you can get for, like, $500.
Wait, how do free and get for $500?
Is it a free or $500? I can't remember.
I should send Corey the website.
Corey, you mean DJ?
No, Corey's some other guy. No.
Corey Flintoff.
Yes.
He loves him.
I love Corey Flintoff.
And he's gay.
NPR.
Is he really?
Yes.
He does have a deep, velvety, sexy radio voice. Since much like our own host, off. DJ Trim.
We're just keeping it real. Sextalk.wrct.org is our website address. Sextalk.wrct.org.
Now, I would like to address, how should I say, I don't want to call it a myth. There's the stereotype that gay men are very promiscuous, and probably on the average, gay men do get more sex. But gay men are no different from straight men. They just get more opportunity.
I would agree with that. Gay men aren't more promiscuous than straight men. I mean, they're as promiscuous as straight men would want to be.
Now, sorry.
I mean, that's as deep as I get.
Sorry.
Now, in England, there are actually there's one in Austin, Texas. They're straight sex clubs for men and women.
Like a straight bathhouse.
Yes.
So to speak.
Of course, there's twice as many men as there are women. But
would it bother you if I had a sip of that?
No.
Can I get my germs?
No. Just wrap your lips right around that.
Like, are you bigger? You're not as big as this, right?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Our host is holding a 2-liter bottle of Diet Pepsi for those of you listening.
And it's really...
Oh, yeah, it's refreshing.
He's going crazy on it.
It's comparable. Sure.
Thank you.
You slobber, don't...
I'm sorry.
Well, there's long been for straight sex clubs. And, in fact, right in the... I mean, you know, there was a... I mean, dating back from the free sex movement in the 60s, which led to the establishment of Plato's Retreat in New York City, right? But, I mean, it just doesn't seem somehow... In my limited experience with... For the gay world, from being the host of the show, it just doesn't quite seem to have the same vibe to it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard to get women to do that.
Yes,
you know? I mean, you look at the gay and lesbian communities, mm-hmm. and you know, you just don't get the kind of casual sex in the lesbian community that you mm-hmm. get in the gay male community. I mean, with the lesbians, you do get relationships and, you know, all the fidelity issues, but that tends to be more on the sort of a cataclysmic level.
Cataclysmic. That sounds...
Yeah. Yeah, well...
So juicy, especially when used in the same sentence as a lesbian. I'm on a tangent, I'm sorry. Ignore me.
So, DJ Trim, if I'm not incorrect, you yourself are involved in a relationship, correct?
Indeed. I am about to celebrate my sixth year of my sixth
six
anniversary of my relationship.
Long.
The big six.
Do you have a shout out?
I have no idea what that could possibly mean.
Well, let's move on then. So have you and your boyfriend dealt with these issues?
I'm not sure if we've been together 6 years. This is going to be the start of our seventh? Or start of our... I'm sorry. What was the question? Do we have issues?
I'm asking if you've worked through these issues. Because it's clear that both Jeff and Chris have sort of, like, it's like they've been on a journey with regards to these issues, right? And they sort of have it clear in their heads what's right for them, right?
Yeah, I've been on more of a pogrom.
That sounds bad.
No, actually, see, the thing is, the thing that's sort of confusing and yet convenient is that my partner and I have this sort of understanding where we want to be kind of, you know, 99.5% monogamous, but the door is still open a little bit in case some, you know, Jonathan Taylor Thomas comes along and there's just some extraordinary circumstance where you really want to have sex with somebody.
Somebody 16.
And I feel like Jonathan Taylor Thomas is not 16. Excuse me.
He looks like he's 12.
He's fully functional and of legal age. It's like 22.
How do you know he's fully functional?
He's got a... Well,
he's had hormone therapy. He can't be 22. Or if he is, he's Sorry.
But anyways, so please.
Hormone therapy?
How can anyone that old, 22, look like that?
Good, you know,
it's
good
those,
genes.
It's those airbrush artists at Tiger Beat.
Yeah, facial peels.
Anyway.
You know, like, it's an ancient combination of monkey sperm and powdered rhino horn. I mean, who knows?
So, anyway, the point is...
that's surgery.
So, but, however, you know, in our 6 years of being together, we basically have almost never taken advantage of this. And I think partially, you know, I've become sort of evil and bitter. And so, you know, people don't really just hit on me anymore. And so sort of from a practical standpoint, and he's sort of the same way. He never leaves the house, right? So there's no actual... so this doesn't, this theory doesn't actually get tested.
Well, it sort of gets tested because you, as the host of your own very popular sex talk show, engage in crackling sexual indo with your many hottie homosexual guests, right?
Well, yeah. Indeed, but you know, there's a firm line between innuendo and, I mean, you know, the actual, there's no actual...
But you're the one drawing the line.
Penile contact. It's true, maybe I need to draw that line a little, with a little wider brush, thinner.
More of a felt
make
tip.
It make it a little vaguer. Raise small gaps in it.
With a French tickle.
Dotted.
And, you know, I've suggested certain things. For example, you know, I wanted Andy and Tom to do a porn video for me.
You wanted me to do
And they agreed.
They did?
Yes.
I don't recall that they agreed.
Yes, they said, well, give us a bunch of alcohol, and I'm sure we could work something out. Oh, like, they said, invite us over, serve us a lot of alcohol, and I'm sure something will work itself out.
You know, I think you need a boom mic operator for that, and somebody to work lighting. I'm sure Jeff and I could probably, you know, assist in the production of...
And you, I've told you that I want to see if I can accommodate your penis.
Yes, I mean, every single show we've had, you've offered.
Corey's obsession, you know, with Chris.
DJ Trim.
Why don't you just use his foot?
Yes, DJ Trim has repeatedly offered
Wait,
himself.
Is your penis bigger than your foot? I mean, I could not accommodate your foot. I mean, let's face it. But I don't think your penis is actually that big.
He's measuring.
I mean, you said that there was this... There's a sex toy, this dildo that I brought in on the show.
No, the dildo was pretty much just a little bit smaller than where I'm at.
Why aren't we talking hard measurements here?
If I can do the dildo, I can do it.
14 is an exaggeration in everyone.
Well, numerically, you know, speaking,
what
are your measurements?
You have to get into this.
Chris, you brought it up.
I didn't bring it up.
As they say on the practice, you open the door to his line of questioning.
You evil man, you.
Well,
this is cruelty to animals, you know.
I mean, it's a many-dimension thing. I mean,
isn't it a three, possibly four-dimension thing?
I need, like, a 3D CAD modeler, you know, something, you know, because there's...
Ooh, a wax...
Look, you're making excuses
here. Maybe if we had
There's two. There's length, there's diameter, and
like
there's...
One of those give me more sculpting
cast.
Things, you know.
Look, you're waffling better than Clinton at this point.
Yes, that's right.
I all right. Well, depending on where you measure it from... You know, because there's...
Look, the standard measurement is from the top. It's from, like...
Is it from the pubis or from the side? Because it actually...
No, it's from the top. So, like, if you were, like... Starting at your belly button, you go down, like where the penis meets the skin.
Okay.
From,
you're looking at like 8.5.
Sweet
Halle Selassie. 8.5 inches long, but that's really not the impressive
part. The part is
why are you making Why are you making a porn movie with Tom and Andrew?
Because I'm trapped in graduate school. I don't know. I somehow, you know. So 8.5 is.
You cleverly twisted my question.
Oh yes.
And then the girth issue. The girth is the sort of scary part.
Right.
Yeah.
Seven.
That's the medically
lethal.
Seven
was circumference. You must.
No, that's diameter.
No, I'm sorry. That's diameter. Whoa. No, seven around. Like if you took a measuring tape, it's 7 inches around.
Which is basically.
And you wonder.
Sorry for using that funny word. I'm circumference.
Sorry. Is it circumference? Is the same thing? I haven't taken math since my sophomore year of high school.
Neither am I, but I'm not like a total.
I have a bachelor
dork.
Of fine arts. Okay. That means I'm dumb.
So seven. If you know, if you divide seven by pi.
Yes.
You'll get the diameter.
Right. So kids at home, you can do that and call in with that magic number. So I can actually know the diameter of my own penis.
Well, it's roughly like 2.1, 2.2.
Yeah, so.
We need a caller.
I mean,
real
it's not ridiculous. There are many, many porn stars out there with much larger penises.
If you were willing to make that plaster cast, I could offer my services as a synthetic polymer chemist to create the silicone mold you would need, Corey.
And there we are. You know, that's what this show's about, is bringing people together.
Trying to build the necessary skills.
Cooperating toward a goal.
Now, see, if we actually just made a cast of my penis, would that actually be considered cheating? Mm. If you then used it? I mean, would I be... Would I be, in essence, having
Well, I think it would be a good prototype experiment, like, as a lead-up to the...
You know, would you be upset with that, Pookie? You know,
no, it doesn't... It passes the
safe enough distance?
The lizard within yes. doesn't have a problem with that.
You know, in all seriousness, I actually have... I've made a plaster cast of my own penis, and I have all of the materials.
You have
I'm serious. I have all the materials for doing this at home.
Why is that not so? Like, why is that not in
yourself,
studio during the show?
It actually broke. It was on my mantle for a while. Somebody knocked it over. And
it wasn't repeated use.
We've come a long way from issues of male fidelity.
But I think we're right on it. I really do. I think this is. But I think producer Kate is right. The plaster cast. You do not want to use the plaster cast as a sex tie because it
crumbles.
This is actually not made of plaster. It's made of this. The kit I had. It's made of this kind of cement. I forget what it's called. There's this fabulous two-step process where this is actually the hardest part, is maintaining an erection. You dip your penis in this kind of fluid, which solidifies and turns into this kind of like latexy negative mold, and then you pour the cement into the negative mold, and you get this positive like cement thing. It's actually really hard. I mean, imagine you have to like have this erection. I mean, if you had a crane that could sort of dip you into the first mold... you could do it, but it's actually really hard to sort of maintain an erection and, you know, mix this powder and within 30 seconds get your penis in there, keep it perfectly still while it's
sets. Don't you need a helper?
Well, at the time I felt sort of shy about having a helper help me.
May I ask an entirely unrelated question?
It'll deviate from my carefully scripted outline for the show, but okay, just this once.
Yeah, deviant. Isn't it deviant? Do you think it is a legitimate argument for a man to say that he has sexual needs, and if they're not being met in the relationship, he gets to go somewhere else? Is that a legitimate argument? I mean, despite what
that,
I said...
That can only be answered in the context of why those sexual needs aren't being met, right? For example, if you're married and you're gay, right, it's probably not legitimate for it to go have your sexual needs met.
Well,
it's probably not
fair
to your
legitimate,
partner.
But it's also legitimate for her to leave you.
It's not fair to your partner to go, you know, go on the show and solicit, you know, young undergrads or whatever it is you might escape.
Well, what I mean is, if, say, you know, The classic situation, husband, wife, married 20 years, the guy's horny, you know, he says, hey, I got needs, you know, I get to screw around. I mean, you know, I have my opinion on this, but,
I'm going to ask a corollary of that question before anybody answers it, because this is very interesting to me. The sort of similar question is, and it has to do with the type of need that the person has. Like, for example, like, let's say, you know, one partner is really into, I'll use an example, really wants a scat, right? In a judgment-free question, you know, you want some sexual act that just simply does not and probably will not ever turn your partner on. And I think this is a real problem. I mean, in general, you might have a partner who's generally willing to kind of experiment with you, but there are some things that... You know, just because...
So it's a situation that one person's not getting what they consider their sexual needs met, or there's something they desire they're not getting.
Is there something you're trying to tell us?
Well, no, I'm just saying, you know, the way you originally framed the question, it's almost like the answer is too easy. Well, you know, of course your partner should try to accommodate you whenever they can, but I think that there are real situations where people just are not able to play along because it's just too hard. And I think scat is a great example of that. I mean, you know, I just don't think I could ever find sort of feces play, you know, arousing. And
what about some sort of compromise with latex fake feces? Like,
Well, but you know, again, I mean, I think you can construct scenarios where one person really wants the real tamale and the other person just can't handle it.
Okay, so what you're saying is that it happens. This situation happens.
Oh, it happens, you know, every day in every city.
I would say it probably happens in a majority of relationships, and a lot of people just don't talk about it.
And I'm sure, you know, like, maybe a more realistic example, I'm sure a lot of heterosexual couples, the man wants anal sex, for example, and the woman just doesn't want to go there. Or, you know, the man wants golden showers. A man wants a three-way, you know.
We've come back to scat again, sort of.
Well, I don't know if scat includes urination. I can do the urination thing. Okay. That's not a problem. It's sort of.
Okay. So, is it? I mean, I frame the question in a very, you know, very traditional way. But, you know, is it if the man or in any case the woman is not getting their sexual needs met, should they, you know? Well, I know what I think they should do. I just was seeing if I could get any sort of an answer out of you and didn't.
Well, I agree with the instincts of our host to sort of narrow it down to a question that actually
can
sort
be
of strangly. The other question can be answered too, but one that more finally, like, gets at, you know, one that sort of more like gets at a stronger distinction, right? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, my answer, wishy-washy and politically waffling that might be, is that that it has to be a case-by-case thing, right? There are trade-offs that have to be made sometimes. And, you know, for example, you know, there's certain kinds of sexual activity that just aren't appropriate in our society that people sometimes have to live without. And so in the context of relationship, sometimes it's going to be that way, sometimes it's not going to be that way, right?
I agree. Yeah.
I may actually have a sort of unique case to add to that, because I'm engaged to get married to my boyfriend that I mentioned earlier, and we made an agreement about 10 months ago now not to have sex until we were married.
Wow.
Good.
Ooh.
Lord.
Yeah. You guys are going to have a great
honeymoon.
You're
going to be born again virgins is what
right.
You're going to be.
And it was really strange because we've been dating for 3 years now, and for the first 2 years of our relationship, I mean, we were like rabbits. You know, and then we just sort of made this agreement, and...
You mean eating only carrots and vegetables and,
Well, no, I mean
living in a
having
cage.
Copious amounts of intercourse on a regular basis,
or
whenever we saw each other.
So what was the motivation for making this this sex pact?
Well, you know, we were thinking about part of, you know, stupid kind of trite little things like having a wedding night that wasn't like every other night that we're together, and or at least... hadn't been that way for a while, and also the idea of our relationship sort of transcending our sexual relationship and sort of confirming for each other that, you know, we can, there's more to our relationship than just sex. And
sorry, saying your fiance has needs that are not currently being met.
Yes, I think he does. I think we both do. I think we're both extremely frustrated, but it's a frustration that we're kind of sharing.
When you're saying you're not having sex, are you not having any kind of sexual encounter, or
well,
all right. I mean, I understand that there's still
part, no. I mean, we've had occasional oral sex and occasional mutual masturbation,
right.
But very occasional.
But you'd consider those were just like sort of. I mean, that's not your standard behavior, right? Those were sort of like pressure release moments where you just couldn't stand it anymore, right?
Exactly.
Deliberately starving yourselves for a while.
Right. It's like Lent, kind of.
Or it's kind of
long.
Sexual Atkins diet in a way.
Yes, kind of. I guess.
I mean, I think it's very cool. Yeah. But yes, it's certainly. But it was just something that you agreed to.
Yes.
Just as when a couple gets married, they agree to be there through thick and thin.
Right.
But then, you know, 5 years down the road, or 10 years down the road, when
She's not going to put on the Heidi costume anymore.
Exactly. Their bodies have changed. Their lives have changed. Suddenly something's different, or maybe many things are different. You know, these are the things that people have to work through. And you hear it all the time.
I hear from your tone of voice that you don't think there are any easy answers to this question.
No, I don't. I think I actually have seen and I know of some couples that really have worked out arrangements. Actually, I mean, my parents are kind of in that group where, I mean, my father for my whole life has been frequenting nude beaches his whole life. Mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't have sex at them, but they're a very important component of his sexuality. He loves nude beaches, and it's not just the nature's thing. It's to look at the men, and it's to look at the women. Mm-hmm. He really gets charged by it. And my mother doesn't go with him. She doesn't understand it. However, she
So she just sort of wait at home and prepare for his return?
I mean, I don't think it's well-timed. Okay. But yet it is still a very big component of their relationship. And it actually has been on the increase over the past years, where it's not just beaches now. It's like he'll actually go away on nude weekends.
Mm-hmm. And couldn't you just, like, set up a sandbox in the backyard with, like, heat lights?
Yeah, but it wouldn't have any other naked people.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to rent the other naked people to come in.
So. There's got
to,
I mean...
Yeah. And there's, so that's the whole idea.
But it sounds like a compromise has been reached. That works, right?
Yeah, and I think, and I don't think that that was always there in their relationship, and it was something that they had to grow to.
So this is the kind of moral relativism that frightens so many people. It would be much simpler to just have a simple, hard and fast rule: absolutely no sex after you're married. But it's not so simple. It, in fact, it avoids the hard work of you know, well, I mean, the reality is it's a complicated situation. You know, you have to, even if you do stick to that, you're going to have to acknowledge different needs, and you're going to have to negotiate what you're going to do about it.
But when you say that, doesn't the problem, unfortunately, then boil down to the kind of power dynamic, in the sense that if one person is more controlling or assertive than the other, then they will sort of, their will eventually dominate.
Right. I want to bring an octopus into bed with us, and if you don't like it, you can leave, knowing full well that they'll never leave.
Or even, you know, even if that person only gets their way 80% of the time, mm-hmm. it still doesn't seem like, I mean, it's still sort of disappointing. It still seems like it boils down to kind of a power situation rather than actually what's best for the relationship.
Well,
or
this gets into the bigger issue of relationships and the relationship dynamic. And as somebody who has been in repeated relationships over and over until this one with people that I have let be that dominant role, mm-hmm. I've been the emotional bottom of every relationship that I've had, basically because I just, you know, it was the role that I was taught, and it, you know, I'm always the nice guy, and I just want to do the right thing, and, you know, sure, honey, that's fine. Go sleep with a whole bunch of other people, and yes, I don't care what we do in bed, and sure, we'll just take care of your needs, and you can roll over and go to sleep and leave me totally unattended. That's fine. Totally fine.
And this
totally stinks. And Jeff is the same way, which is excellent. You know, it does create... I mean, obviously, it creates a problem when two people are both going, no, we'll do what you want to do.
No. Sometimes we can't get through a door. It takes about 3 minutes.
Right.
Not really.
No, but it's not that bad. However, that is the problem of two like-minded people dating and in a relationship. But I do think that far too often you end up with a very controlling person and a very non-controlling person. It's a very easy thing to fall into because it's comfortable for both. You know, one person has the person in control. The other person is used to being controlled. Mm-hmm. Both of them are miserable because they're really not getting what they need or want.
Well, I mean, okay, I just want to mention one last thing about marriage to go back a little bit to what DJ Trim said. So we talked about the issues of power differences between people in relationships, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things about marriage is that it, in theory, like, gives an official sort of status to the equal footing of both people, right? It's like equally bad for each one of them to stray, even if in cultural practice it's not always that true, right? That's not always true. So, I mean, I think that marriage certainly isn't a perfect institution, and, you know, it hasn't probably adapted as fast as it should to, you know, this crazy mixed up world that we currently inhabit, right? There's some real power to the formalisms it brings to the table, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, having that institution there with those rules gives you a starting point. It gives you something to work from, you know, even if you don't do it in a totally traditional way. Yeah. I mean, you can't just build a life in a vacuum.
And it does get back to what we were initially saying of the male need, you know, just like the female need for companionship and spirituality and, you know, the reassurance of having somebody there who loves you, you know, who you can curl up with, all of that comfort stuff that we don't like to talk about as men because, you know, it's mushy and makes you whatever.
It's for sissies.
But I'd like to puncture our happy agreement and ask what might be a difficult question. Mm. So, right, we all get attracted to different people, right? Mm-hmm. What happens when you start becoming attracted to somebody? You don't do anything about it, and you may even talk about it with your partner, right? But what happens when they start creeping in your mind in ways that you can't quite control, right? Like, how does one deal with that in a long-term relationship? Does one just keep quiet about it? No. Does one actively try to, like, force out of your mind?
You mean if you get attracted to someone nearby, someone you work with, or somebody who could be threatening to your partner?
Sort of, yeah. And the attraction, like, stays in your head. And you sort of, like, when you're with your partner, you think about them, you know? Like, I mean, because the situation sort of, if you live long enough, the situation sort of always come up, right?
Right. I mean, I think it is certainly something you have to be aware of. And it's funny, this is just like the third rock from the sun episode we were watching tonight. If anybody else saw that out there, you'll resonate with it. But certainly
what was
you
it,
don't want to
just Lithgow, William Shatner unspoken.
Yes, thing, yes. Huh? No, it wasn't.
It was the one after.
I don't watch American television.
Why? Because it's not close enough to gay porn.
It's not sophisticated enough for me. I'm sorry. Proceed.
Yes. It is a tough question because I think it does present itself. Do you talk about it? You just bring it up with your partner and say, hey, guess what I was thinking about while I was coming, with you.
I can imagine that's a real winner.
Yeah, that's probably not going to go over too well.
I would like you to sort of define this question a little bit better for me because, being mentally ill, and I think most people are, and there's all kinds of creepy stuff that slips into your mind. I mean, you can't just say, oh, by the way, when we were having sex, I wondered what it was like to, like, cut your head off and feed it to a dog. I mean, there's all kinds of, like, stuff that you think of that just, like, because
really?
You've just seen a horror movie or because, like, you've got a perverted idea. Well, maybe your, mental house is all in order, but, mine isn't.
Oh.
Right? And well, so I'm not going to share, like, every random neural misfire.
I'm not talking about random neural misfires. I mean, I'm talking about this idea of attraction to other people and sort of what's threatening to a relationship, right? Because, if a woman that I was dating said that she was thinking about cutting my head off while she was having sex with me, it said, like, oh, it's just an idle whim, right? I probably would believe her, right? But if she said, like, oh, that guy at work, like, oh, man, I pictured him bending over in the shower, and then I pictured him looking me all over, right? Like, that would be somewhat more troubling to me, right?
Right.
I think, like anything, it's a fine line between fantasy and reality. And when that fantasy starts overriding and working its way into all of the reality aspects of your life, like you're thinking of this person while you're having sex, it is a problem. It should be treated seriously, if it is that jarring to you.
Mm-hmm.
However, if it is just a small indiscretion, it comes up every once in a while, like, I'm thinking of, all the guys at, Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity with me strapped to a table in the basement when I'm having sex with Jeff every once in a while. I don't think that's necessarily too bad.
I can't believe
it. Is that a problem?
I'm not sure how the frat brothers think, what they think of that.
They can call.
Are they at the frat brothers in jail after this weekend? Or?
I don't know what's going on with fraternities, but...
I think in a sad attempt to answer your question, I'll say that... If this ongoing attraction with someone who's inappropriate, if it's something that you think that you can just sort of deal with, without any real ill effect, it wouldn't be a bad thing to just sort of be quiet about it, maybe talk to your friend in California, or something like that.
So you're saying honesty may not be the best policy if it's something that you don't see...
If
having any functional effect, right?
I don't know, Chris. I mean,
no, I don't think it is. I mean, I wouldn't say that honesty is not necessary in this situation because there's a lot of things that it's not. You're not being dishonest with your partner until this is something that is bothering you to the point of causing serious emotional and sexual dysfunction in the relationship. I mean, like DJ Trim.
DJ Trim the Lance or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
DJ Keeping It Real.
Keeping It Real has said, we can't control all the things that fire through our head, including our
including crushes.
And crushes and...
Or even long-running crushes.
Right, and things that just feel good. Sometimes it's fun to play those games. Mm-hmm. However, I think everybody knows when it's gone too far. And that's oftentimes the hardest.
At that point, you do need to talk with your partner and say, look, we got to deal with this some way. So, or like maybe if it's making you paranoid that your partner's going to find out and the whole world will collapse around you, that's a good reason to talk about it.
I mean, I went a long time having sex with women thinking about guys every time before I finally... Yeah.
Well, see, perhaps their honesty would have been the best policy.
Yes, it would have been, and it's very unfair to the women that I was with.
I've often been paranoid that my girlfriends were robots. But I think I wisely chose not to share it with them.
I've been watching that Austin Powers DVD a little too much, perhaps.
I don't know. This predates that. This goes back to, like,
the Stepford Wives. Yeah. Westworld. Good movie.
Indeed. You know, as always, the hour is too short. It's already midnight. I want to thank you, Jeff and Chris, for coming on the show. I actually have a new strategy. Now that I realize that you're both emotionally susceptible, I'm going to just command you.
You will dominate us.
You're going to land on them like a sexual load of bricks.
That's right. So
keeping it real.
So get a new gambit. Anyway, this is WRCT Pittsburgh, keeping it real. Tune in next time, Tuesday at 11, and thanks for listening.
Good night.